Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. A great opportunity to spend our Friday evening together. Thanks for being with me. If you're just tuning into the show right now, you've missed nothing in the last 10 seconds. Still great to have you with me. Closing out our week. This is a big week. It's Oscar weekend. And some really great films this year. I still have two to see. I have two films to see. And I will watch them tonight and Saturday so that I can make Facebook and Twitter comments throughout the ceremony on Sunday night. I always like doing that. Should be fun. Every film I've seen, I really like. So I anticipate I'll like the final two that I have to see this weekend too, Poor Things and The Holdovers. That should be fun. And in fact, tonight, it's just movie talk. That's what we're doing. We've got Nick Wattier and Caitlin Schuchart coming in from the Green Bay Film Festival. They'll talk about what they have tomorrow. If you're up for some independent film, I highly recommend you check that out tomorrow, and then you can see the big studio film celebration on Sunday night. Nick and Caitlin were here about a month ago. The Green Bay Film Festival has kind of a different format. They show films once a month as opposed to obscene amount of films all within 1 week. Both are kind of cool formats. This works for them. So we'll talk to them a little bit about what they have on tap tomorrow. And then in the second hour, Terry Barr is usually with us. She had to cancel today, but this is like the greatest kind of cancellation ever. Cause as much as I'll miss talking to Terry, she provided us a guest and made an introduction to director Robert Love, who has a film called A Time to Die, which will premiere at the Overture Center in Madison on March 29th. And Robert will join us to talk about the film. It is a, Conrad, how would you describe that? A zombie apocalypse comedy?
A zombie apocalypse. It's definitely in the future. I think they said around 2061, I believe.
Wow.
But yeah, it definitely looks interesting.
Yeah, it looks funny. I mean, at this point, there have been so many zombie apocalypse movies.
Yeah.
That aren't comedies.
Really serious. This one looks
You kind of have to start lampooning them at some point and doing a parody. And that's what it looks like Robert has done. And the movie does. I agree. The movie looks really fun. We've seen the trailer. I've not seen the whole film, but we will talk to Robert in the second hour. That will be fun. He'll be along at 8:20. And and then tonight, you know, this week has been, we've had such great listener interaction, and we've already got some. Papa Rico is watching on the stream and says, "Hey, Pete, Rico here. As you well know, it's Friday night, and I'll try to stay within the FCC guidelines, but you're stuck with me, buddy. I mean, after all, you have to do have the capability of editing my text. Just kidding. You know, I'll be cool." Papa Rico's always cool and quite a potty mouth when he's not watching the show, I understand, but I don't care about that. I am not the FCC. So you're absolutely right, Papa Rico. You can text in whatever you want, and I will edit as I will edit as I read. You're not gonna shock me, buddy. Great to have you with me. Our question tonight is pretty simple, pretty straightforward. The Oscars are Sunday night. Will you watch? That's it. Are you gonna watch the Oscars? Do you have any predictions? Please feel free to share them. You know I love hearing from you guys during the show, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It is Oscar weekend. This is exciting, and we'll talk about that throughout the show a little bit, sparsed in with some independent film talk, and a lot of fun, kind of weird showbiz stories today. I do this thing for Civic Media. It's the 1 minute, the Hollywood minute. And they're fun to do. I just get to have some fun with showbiz entertainment news. And one of them today, Sam Neill, talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in 1993 in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. And apparently Sam Neill's son had really bad gas.
What a time to be guessing.
Right? Through the whole premiere. And, you know, Sam Neill, who I've always liked as an actor, and I even like him more now reading this story, because he said the smell was awful. And he equated it, or he attributed it to be his son being nervous and just having gas because of his nerves. And he thought his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him. And he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool. He took one for the team. He took one for the Neil team.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad. Would your dad do that, Conrad?
Yeah, my dad would definitely do that.
I don't know. I think my dad would kind of give the nod at her. Like, yeah, it's him.
Don't look at me. It's this guy over here.
It's the boy. Oh, that made me laugh. Sam Neill's son was compromising the whole room. Made it not such a pleasant viewing experience. So that cracked me up. That'll be in the Hollywood Minute on Monday. We did a little thing. We just cut that. And then, keeping the focus on the posterior, Harrison Ford said recently he had a colonoscopy and he heard John Williams' soundtrack for Indiana Jones during his colonoscopy. Like, I haven't had a colonoscopy yet. I'm overdue. And I'm sure, I'm an open book, folks. That's what you get here on Nightline. I'm not afraid to share that. You're supposed to have one in your 40s. I haven't done it yet. But he said he heard the Indiana Jones music during his colonoscopy, which I think is hilarious. And why not? Why not play some music? I don't even know if they do that, if they play music. I never hear music when I go in to get a physical.
I feel like they should add that, though.
Why not?
Some nice music to calm you down a little bit.
Absolutely. Especially when they're checking your blood pressure, a little easy music to calm you down. So
nice little jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, so when I turn my head and cough, I get a nice harmony while I feel Dr. Grabby's fingers all over my body. When's the last time you had a physical, Conrad? I'm not saying that because I'm concerned. I'm just
about
saying.
A year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get one every year at your age?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just moved to Green Bay, though, so I'm in the process of getting a dentist and doctor and all that stuff.
I got a great dentist for you if you don't mind to drive. He's in California. No.
Oh, okay. No. I want the address and then phone number.
It's a good
for
excuse
sure.
to get out and go see the ocean. No, his name is Dr. Robert Magnin. He's in Kimberly. He's a great dentist. And I think he's probably pretty popular, but, you know, he's great. So check him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're nice to him, he might even give you a physical, too. I don't know that he's qualified to do that, but.
I think I'll stay away from the physical from him.
Why not save a few bucks? You're laying there. You're all gassed up in the dental chair. Go to town, Doc. No, he's a great dentist, though. I would highly recommend him. So that was kind of weird. And then Joy Behar, the host, one of the hosts of The View, says, I'm reading this article, and she's saying, oh, women should date younger men. It's healthy because women advance sexually quicker than men, and they're a little more advanced regarding that kind of stuff than men. And as I'm reading this article, it continues, she is married to a younger man, but he's 7 years younger than her. She's 81. I mean, I'm not trying to be an ageist here, but like, that's not exactly robbing the cradle. So that was interesting.
I don't know if you can really preach about dating a younger man. He's only seven years younger. Well, yeah, but
he is younger. I mean, I like younger women. My wife is 6 months younger than me. It's worked out for us so far. Papa Rico says he's got a prediction. He says Oppenheimer, but just to be a, well, I can't say that word, just to be a, he's going to say with Barbie.
Just that's to, not, just to be mean.
Yeah. But yeah, they got snubbed. He says, I just, something in the box. Papa Rico, where are you going with this? And if there's any problems, they'll call me back for a more invasive procedure. All right, let's listen. I'd love to delve into that, Papa Rico, but HIPAA laws prevent me from having you elaborate on that text. He's hitting all the body parts.
So, Pete, have you heard of the show The Traitors?
I have, yeah. I've seen a lot of the – I have not gotten to it yet, but I've seen all the ads.
I just saw something on my phone right now, and it says I'll just read. It says, did you like The Traitors? Well, do you like British accents? Stream the premiere of Traitors UK now.
That's how they're going on, is the British accent?
So you can watch the US version or the UK version now.
Oh my gosh. That's like somebody mailing it in, writing those promos.
Well, I guess they're going to go to Australia next, maybe.
Okay.
You know, maybe they'll go to China after that.
What is it? They think we can't relate to the material unless it's presented in our country's vernacular. Is that what they're going for?
I don't know.
It's really strange. I will say accents cracked me up today. I was at home trying to work on the show. It was about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever. And I hear my kids, who are both over 18, arguing in the next room. And I got pretty annoyed because, you know, I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to write some stuff for the show. And then I hear they're using like this Canadian, Minnesota, Northern Wisconsin accent. And they're going, no, oh, no. And they keep, it was like an improv game. And I immediately started laughing. You can annoy me, but if you make me laugh, all is forgiven. All right, we're going to come back and we are going to tease the movie we're going to be talking about in the second hour. Robert Love will be here. We'll play the trailer of his film. We've got a clip from Beavis and Butthead, which dropped today. We're going to read your texts. Will you watch the Oscars? What are your predictions? Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. So great to have you with me on a Nightlight Friday night here in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay here at WGBW. So much fun. Heading into Oscar weekend, we're talking independent films tonight. We're talking your Oscar predictions if you have them. I just want to know, will you watch the show? Because I'll be honest, there have been times in the past when I have not watched the show. And part of it was because, you know, maybe I've never been nominated for an Oscar. I was typically in the comedy genre. And only a couple of my films ever got made. They did not receive Oscar nods. But I don't think that's why. I think I just, I don't know, there's so much. I love the clips they show and finding out who wins, but there's so much in between there. It's like watching a football game, 3.5 hour broadcast. You have 60 minutes of football. I feel like it's kind of the same thing with the Oscars. I'm generally into about an hour of it, and the rest, I just don't care. Like, my wife likes to watch people going in and where they're sitting and all that kind of stuff, and I don't mind that, but I like the meat of it, I guess, more than anything. So that's why I'm asking you, will you watch the Oscars Sunday night, and what are your predictions? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know. Papa Rico has active thumbs tonight. Let me tell me, Pete, you didn't know I was talking about a colonoscopy. I knew you were talking about a colonoscopy, Papa Rico. I had to kind of think quickly and figure out what words I could say that you used. And I couldn't think that fast. And by the way, you can poop in a box. I'll take your word for that, Papa Rico. I tend to use the toilet, but I'm not here to judge either. We've all been out in the woods before. Push comes to shove. You got a decision to make. If it doesn't make your cat jealous, go for it, buddy. That's great. So Beavis and Butthead dropped on this day in 1993. I thought it was the 80s. 1993. Mike Judge, we just celebrated Office Space a week or two ago on Nightlight and played a couple clips. Our friend Richard Reilly was on the show several weeks ago. He was in Office Space. But Mike Judge, this is the show that kind of put Mike Judge on the map. Beavis and Butthead, an animated show about two just idiot kids that play video games and laugh at very sophomoric humor. And we have an example of that sophomore humor right now in a very quick clip.
Rod has a two-stroke lead.
They're watching golf.
A what?
All he has to do is put it in the hole to become the master's champion.
He said master.
Let's hex him.
Okay. I never really got into Beavis and Butthead. Like, I remember guys in college, like, day drinking. Or when I'd be working the road at stand-up. So he's that dude I worked with that would sit in the hotel room or the condo and just smoke weed and watch Beavis and Butthead. I laughed. It's a funny show. It was never one of my favorites, but man, it sure launched Mike Judge's career. And I would have killed to have been the guy that created that. Just two young idiots sitting there commenting on stuff they see and making sophomoric jokes. It's genius. You ever get into Beavis and Butthead, Conrad?
Never.
No. Not too late.
So, I don't know.
There's a lot of...
I think I'd rather watch some better TV than that, to be honest.
Hey, we have a... And not to... You know, I don't want to over-dramatize this, but it's a pretty special birthday today. And I'm a big fan of The Office. And Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, thinks this guy is maybe the greatest actor ever. So in honor of Michael Scott, we found some... That's right. James Vanderbeek clips. He turns 46 today. And Conrad is more familiar with James Vanderbeek's work than me. So I'm going to, you cut a couple clips.
Yeah.
Let us know what we're rolling first here.
So this is from the show How I Met Your Mother. And he plays one of the main character's ex-boyfriends. And she tells the story of when they first started dating in Canada when she was younger.
Okay.
Simon. I thought he was the coolest guy ever. He smelled like your car, he could ollie on a skateboard, and he had the most amazing collection of Hard Rock Cafe t-shirts. We spent the whole summer madly in love. Oh my God, Simon, that was such a good show. You guys totally rocked out.
Yeah, I know. I figure we're about 4 or 5 gigs away from really exploding. Oh. Big, babe. We're like crash test dummies big. So, had everything?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, babe. It's over.
What?
I'm getting back together with Louise Marsh. Well, the thing is, her folks just put in a pool.
Totally. I get it. Pools are great. Swimming's awesome. We have a sprinkler. Run right through it. Well, I should go.
Babe, wait.
Yeah, Simon?
You forgot to load the drum set.
That's good.
That's one of my favorite characters in I Met Your Mother. He's just so funny.
It's one of your favorite shows, isn't it?
It's up there. Probably my second favorite of all time.
Second favorite. Okay. What's your favorite?
Friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so weird. We've known each other now over 3 months, Conrad. And I don't think I've ever heard you talk about Friends.
Yeah. I love that show as well. So
yeah, that's a comfort show for me. It's so weird. Yeah. When Friends first came out, I didn't like it. I was like, they were so cuddly. And I'm just, I got grossed out by it. Honest to God, like, you know, Ross and Monica would be sitting on the couch with their arms around each other and their brother and sister, and he would like kiss her head when she's, and then, you know, Joey and I, it's just, I was like, what the, who hangs like this? You ever do that?
Not with my brother, no.
No, okay. That's my point. Like, do you have a sister?
No.
All right.
I don't think I would.
No, I do. I have two sisters. We don't sit like that. We have a, we're close, but it's not like we're like cuddly friend close. And it's not just Ross and Monica. It's like the whole group is so.
I really, Matthew Perry in that show is so iconic to me. And it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like every episode, he says something that's got me laughing for the 20 minutes after he says it.
Listen, it's a great, it's very well written. And of course I came around, I got over that because it was so funny. And it's like, yeah, Joey and Chandler, Monica's yeah. hilarious. I love her neurotic, you know. It's a great show. Yeah, there's no question about it. I would put it in my top 10. I don't know if I'd go top 5. But it's up there. It's a fun, it's just a comfort show, you know. All right, when we come back, we are talking. We're in Northeast Wisconsin right now, and there's a great film festival happening here tomorrow, the Green Bay Film Festival. Nick and Caitlin will join me in the studio here to talk about what is coming up tomorrow during their awesome film festival. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Friday night. Just a reminder, too, you can watch the show if you prefer visual entertainment on our stream. Conrad, why don't you give them the addy?
The rundown? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, Facebook, WGBW, Civic Media's YouTube channel, and then on Twix, we're on WGBW.
And some people have already found us, obviously, on Facebook, which is great. Green Bay Llama says, ask Nick what to hear about his career in professional wrestling. This is as good a time as this is a good a time as any to introduce my guests from the Green Bay Film Festival, Nick Watier and Caitlin Schuchart.
Yeah,
I remembered.
We did it.
You're the festival director, and Nick, you're the treasurer.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, don't even try to embezzle because your boss is right here. That's what I'm taking away.
We run
from
a
this.
Tight ship. You know,
yes.
So, great to have you guys here.
Great to be
back.
Here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Do you mind if we take a phone call?
No, by all means.
Introduce you and take a phone call right away, but maybe they have questions for you as well. Conrad, it's Nick, did you say?
Yeah, Nick from Madison.
Nick for Nick.
Nick, welcome to Nightlight.
Good. Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you, buddy?
Great. Hey, I wanted to, you actually said two things that were actually relevant to me right now. One of them is, are you going to watch the Oscars?
Yeah.
I remember a couple months ago, I was at a grill out with my friends, and we were talking about what's the last Best Picture movie that you've seen? And we all agreed it was the Departed. That was in 2007.
Did that win Best Picture?
Yes.
Wow. I think you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So, the Oscar nominees and winners, they aren't very relevant to me because I just don't care about them, you know? So that's why I'm not watching.
Okay. Well,
yes.
You more of a independent film guy, Nick?
No, I'm not. I mean, I do like some independent films. I mean, but you know, I'm a huge comic book geek as well. And,
okay.
But also one of my favorite movies is, Training Day. And that also was a Best Picture winner.
Oh, I forgot about Training Day. That's right. That was kind of a surprise, I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it, but I was surprised it won Best Picture.
Well, that's you know, one of the few movies where Denzel is actually a villain. You know,
true.
It's very rare. That and American Gangster are pretty much the only two that I can think of.
He probably has it in his contract to not be the bad, the heavy anymore. He has to,
probably.
He did a really good. He did a really good job, especially in Training Day, because the whole time I was watching, because I'm also a fan of Chicago PD, the TV show.
Sure.
And Voight, one of the main characters, you know, he's definitely shady, but he wants to do the right thing at the end. And I was kind of hoping that's what Denzel's character was doing, Alonzo. But by the end of the movie, I was like, nope. He's a villain.
Well, he's a phenomenal actor. I mean, I've watched all of the Equalizers like three times a piece.
Oh, yeah.
They work because of him, you know.
I broke in the new year, not by going out to drink, but as soon as Equalizer 3 dropped on Netflix at midnight, you know, I watched it. So, yeah.
Which one do you recommend of the Equalizers you've gotten so...
Which one do you recommend
of the Equalizers? Like, oh, I really, you know, root for...
My favorite, actually, my favorite one is the Equalizer 2, probably.
Yeah, with Pedro Pascal as the bad guy.
He's
just blown up.
I love where, you know, because, you know, the bad guys, they killed his mentor. The woman, I can't remember the character's name.
Oh, man, it's one of my favorite.
But then he says, you know, and he's being nice because... Pedro Pascal's wife and kid were
great
there in
scene.
The background, and he says quite like, "I'm coming for all of you," and then he does finger guns to all four. <You know? laughs>
And then he asks his wife for a ride to the train.
Yes.
So they can't do anything. It was a great scene. And that actress's name was Melissa Leo. I was going to Google it, but it came back to me. She's so great. And I agree with you. So no predictions, Nick, then, for Sunday night?
I have no idea. And to be quite frank, I don't care, you know, because the thing is the Academy, they're not normal moviegoers. They're
A little snobby.
Snobby. And also getting into the Academy is once you get in, you can't get out. And
I'd kill to be in the Academy.
A lot of them don't even watch a lot of the movies. So it's
all politics.
Popularity contest.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Boy, that would bum me out. I maybe you have inside information on that, Nick, and if that's true, that really kind of gives me the blues. But you know, that.
Well, I actually have a friend whose actually father was a part of the Academy, and that's where I got kind of that inside information about. Okay. So,
all right. Well,
but
go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
okay.
No.
I mean, picture. I mean, the average age is about 60, and most of them are white. So, I mean, this isn't a representative sample of the movie going audience, you know?
Well, I agree with you there. And I read something recently that said more women are an all time high of women in the major categories are represented this year. But they said it's a new high, but then they said it ties 2021. So it's not really a new high. They said it was progress, but they definitely have a long way to go with people of color as well. So I couldn't agree more. But thanks so much for the phone call, Nick. I really appreciate it. Great to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. Have a great night. Thank you. You guys have Oscar predictions?
I don't really.
No? Have you seen a lot of the films, or are you so busy with the indie films to get to the theater?
Well, for me, it's the indie films, but also my day job, I'm in live event production.
Okay.
So I'm usually at the arenas hanging video walls or PA systems and things like that. So my entertainment time is largely spent with my daughter watching things like Lanky Box.
Nice.
But yeah, that's I like the point that Nick made on the phone there, though, about the Academy not being a standard viewership, a standard audience, because there's a lot of truth to that. You know, once you get into that studio system, you're really beholden to the other people that you work with, right? A lot of politics and a lot of relationships happen at that level. And that's part of why I like to focus on those independent artists,
right,
and help them get to that next step. And, you know, like, I love what you're doing here with Civic Media. It's kind of democratizing the airwaves, allowing more people to get out there and share opinions. And that's what independent film does as well. You don't have to go through this filter of a studio system and an academy.
Right.
Before Caitlin joined us, we actually went through a process where our festival was old enough that with just a letter of recommendation, we could have been an academy tokened festival where,
oh, really?
Where our submissions would go up the chain. And, and our board had to decide, like, is that the way we want to go? But when you start looking at other indie festivals like Tribeca or South by Southwest, those are totally different animals from the way we operate, where they have the inside track on the films that are coming and, you know, oh, it's a low budget film. They only had $5 million.
Right.
You know, like it's a different world than what we're in. So we kind of made this decision to help support those local artists and those small time people that really need that next step up.
You know, it's funny you say that because, and you're absolutely right. Like you get true independent filmmakers there that won't be able to showcase their work anywhere else. They probably won't get a release. But I've been at film festivals where a few years ago, the film Cha-Cha Real Smooth was there. Mm. And it's an indie, probably technically, but I don't know if Apple funded it, then it wouldn't be an indie, but they got the rights to it. They screened it there and they had security people there making sure no one recorded it. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. This is.
I think you'd be surprised what they consider indie these days.
Yeah, right.
I think it's like up to 10 million.
Yeah.
Maybe. And yeah. That.
Well, it's so like Fox Searchlight Pictures. Mm-hmm. That's Fox funded independent film.
Right.
Like when you really follow the money and follow the logos and all that stuff, there's still big backing behind that. And really what the studio systems will do is they'll break up these brands so that can have, for lack of a better term, plausible deniability if something doesn't work. Huh. Right. It's not a 21st century Fox film. It's a Fox Searchlight picture. Right. So they can take those risks on those lower brands. And I'm appreciative for those systems because it's the next step for those artists.
Right.
But again, that's a level beyond what we're aspiring to do. We're really trying to help those artists even a step before you get to Searchlight.
We really pride ourselves on making sure that everybody on the committee, on our programming committee, has seen every film. We get at least 10 pairs of eyes on nice. Every film that comes through. And so we can really get a good aggregate of what we really want to put in. You know, when 10 people have seen it, you can tell the really good stuff versus what we don't want
to
play.
And we get to name our own awards categories.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, too.
We were just debating what the 2025 awards are going to be. I don't know if that's all decided yet to be announced, but, you know, if we really feel called that we need to do an award for sound because there was something exemplary, we can choose whether or not we're going to have a sound award based on what's coming for the year.
Oh,
so it's not too, like trying to fill holes. Right.
Right.
We're awarding the best of what we've seen.
My guests are Nick Watier. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Watier. Last time I had to like think about it for seconds. It doesn't roll. But Nick Watier and Caitlin Schuchart there with the Green Bay Film Festival, which you can catch tomorrow at the Tarleton Theater. The theme tomorrow is Indigenous films, which is really cool. And I like what you're saying. Like, I don't mind that some bigger films are at festivals. I think if they help get people there, and people are willing to see other films and true independence, that helps the whole thing too. So I'm not a snob.
For sure.
Or I'm not like rebellious against that. But I do, the thing that kind of bothers me is when, let's say, Kevin Costner says, well, it's an independent film. Oh, okay. He got all of his A-list friends to be in it. And people emptied their pockets to finance it. Technically, it's an independent film, but it's not really an independent film. And that happens a lot, you know.
Right. It does. And again, it's the question to me, like the definition between independent and non-independent really comes down to the amount of control the individual artist had.
Right.
Now this is personal opinion and this isn't like textbook or anything, but you know, and you've probably experienced some of this to some extent in the studio system is the layers of approvals you go through. You know, if you're working in television, you have standards and practices who like, that was just a simple joke, but someone's going to find it offensive somewhere and we need to change it.
Or they miss it entirely.
Or they miss it. Yeah. I heard you were playing some Beavis and Butthead clips earlier. Yeah. I'm sure that went through standards and practices and like, I'm a fan of that work too, but it's just, there's something so pure about knowing that the work you're seeing was an idea that wasn't decided because of the budget.
Well, and not only that, but like you mentioned the studio system. They see a script, they love it. I went through this with my partner. You know, they said, we absolutely love this. Well, they kept reading it and kept finding little things, and they nitpicked us to death. Whereas with an independent film festival, you see a movie, you go, we love this. Let's screen this. You can't change anything. It's the pure, like you said, it's right from the artist, right from the filmmaker. It's a finished product, and that you're showing it as is. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole joy to me. That's what film festivals are all about and the true independent spirit of them. Okay, so I didn't even get to my questions yet. I just pulled a John Minow and started talking. Right? I've learned from the best, well, John, if you're listening. So. Yeah. All right. So real quick, before we go to a break, how did Wisconsin's?
I think it was really, really nice. We had a really great crowd. We had a really passionate filmmaker discussing, you know, farming and unfortunately suicide among farmers in the Midwest. But we had an advocate come, and he talked for a good 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
It was eye-opening to me because I didn't realize that the suicide rates for farmers were so elevated. Again, a story I never heard any other way. That,
yeah.
You can hear a pin drop, and we had really great questions. It was just really engaging, and it's so really nice to see when that happens.
Great when someone finds something like that to make a film about. The people
it's passionate.
Know. It's so great, yeah. All right, we will be back with more Green Bay Film Festival talk. It's tomorrow at the Tarleton Theater. Make sure you check it out. The theme is Indigenous Films. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. We're living through tonight. You want it, you take it, you pay a price. We've been all night, been all night, been all night with a cold blood. Just prove it all night, prove it all night. Girl, I prove it all night for your love. Welcome back. Just interrupted Caitlin. She's very passionately arguing her case. We were talking about this year's Oscar nominees. And I just said the two films I didn't love, Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest, both have Sandra Hüller in them. And she's great. And they were, I think Rob Thomas at the Capital Times said kind of what you were saying, Caitlin, about The Zone of Interest, that it was like great visual art and a statement, but as a movie, I don't know. Who knows though? You never know what, you know, the upset's going to be or whatever, but let's get back to independent film and what is happening right down the street tomorrow at the Tarleton. So what are you showing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have Indigenous Stories. So we will have doors at 3, films start at 4. We got a 2-hour session, a nice break, and then another 2-hour session. We've got some documentaries. There's a animated film in there with Wes Studi. Are you familiar with that actor? He's in The Last of the Mohicans. He's like a very well-known.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Cool.
So he voices one of those.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just a lot of nice, easy-breezy stories tomorrow.
Is the Tarleton like the perfect venue for that too?
Oh, it's amazing.
We're biased.
Why is it so great? I've never been in there. I just pass it, and I think it looks like the coolest little theater.
So it's a historic theater. It used to be the West Theater downtown. And there's tabled seating, booth seating. There's a full kitchen where you can order a real meal. We also provide some heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
And a full bar, which is very Wisconsin. But they've got an elevated stage and a massive screen. The thing we keep hearing from all of our filmmakers is, I've never seen such a good screen and projector for my film. So one of the things that often happens with film festivals that we've worked hard to continue to maintain is when we play international films, they often have subtitles. And if you are in a hotel ballroom with a bunch of folding chairs flat on the ground, the people towards the back lose the story because they can't see those subtitles. Right. So Tarleton not only gives us, you know, comfortable seating, a nice kitchen, a nice bar, but raked seating so that you have a good view from every seat in the place. It has a nice community feel to it. You know, there are areas where you can go and visit, talk to the filmmakers that are in attendance, or talk to other attendees.
Okay.
Okay. We always try to do like a little introduction for whoever did attend that's, you know, in the filmmaking community, and, you know, try to get people to meet each other and keep creating, keep telling stories.
Absolutely. Can you give us a preview of the female perspective that comes up in April?
We have a really fun one called The Sleepover, which resonates with me about some girls who get in trouble at a sleepover. I think our winning one is out of Europe, and she is a journalist, you know. So, I mean, we have some comedy, some drama, you know, some heartfelt stories. So I don't want to give away too much.
Okay.
You got to get there to see what's going on. But you'll find that they're all female driven. So female director, female cast, female, you know, female written, all that kind of stuff.
So how many films will you show in a day? You guys do your format a little differently than some film festivals where they cram a ton of films into a week. You space yours out more. Mm-hmm. It's more of an event, I think, this way. But how many films will you show in one day typically?
I think it could go from 5 to 15. It just really depends on the length. So we have the 4 to 6 session. So whatever we can put in that 2-hour session, and then whatever we can put in the 7 to 9 sessions. So really just depends on the length of the films that we're getting. Sometimes it's a feature, and you just have that. And sometimes it's 4 shorts back to back.
What we really try to do is make that ticket, that event, be around a 2-hour event.
Okay.
And then we have the break in the second event as part of the day. So, you know, if we end up with a lot of 5-minute shorts, you get to see a lot more stories. Lately we've seen a lot of quality features, mm-hmm. you know, that are an hour plus. So a lot of times we're doing a short and a feature. So 2 to 3 films in a 2-hour block. And then the earlier block is usually more shorts.
Can I just tell you, I had a film in some festivals, and it was my first introduction really to film festivals. And I really went into it kind of not knowing what to expect. And the film they showed before, mine was a feature-length film. They showed one before my film. They showed two short films before mine. One was just a guy in the middle of the night in Manhattan opening his donut store, making donuts. And it was like a 4-minute film. And it started, and I was like, what the heck is this? There's no talking.
Oh, yeah.
No, what the? And by the end of it, I was like,
riveted.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just watching a guy make donuts.
Story.
Like anything
is most
can be a story. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
We ran a film.
Fell in love with film festivals after that.
Oh man, we ran a film. There was a special event we did down the street at the Art Garage, and we had an artist come in. His family was finally letting go of their old barn. Like they have one of those old barns you see when you're driving on the highway. It's clearly over 100 years old and just falling apart, and they lit it on fire to get rid of it. And that was the whole film. It was like 5 minutes of watching the barn burn and a close-up shot here. And like, that's the place where, you know, we had our calves, and this is the place where the chickens were. And there was no dialogue. There was no story to follow other than just the feeling that you got from these amazing images he had. And he had a friend that wrote a soundtrack for it. It's funny what kind of power you can feel when you're willing to watch it as art and not just a story.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the occasional cut to one of the family members' faces
watching
their barn, and you can immediately interpret what they're feeling or, you know, it's so great. So you guys mind hanging around for a few extra minutes?
Yeah, I can.
You're here already. What the heck,
it's
right?
Friday night, Pete.
Okay, Friday night. Thank
Kids
you.
Kids in bed. I'm out.
Yeah. So we're going to give away some tickets, too. And I don't know how many you have to give away or how we should
Let's
do this.
Let's do a pack of four.
A pack of four. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Conrad, any thoughts on how we can do this and make it diplomatic or fair? Or you want to just take them?
The giveaway's already done. Conrad took them.
Thanks for playing, everybody.
You could come up with some questions over the break and just kind of see.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's, like a trivia
like
question?
Like a quiz question.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. Movie related?
We could play a movie clip that we didn't get to last night with Mike Siegel and see the first person who gets the clip gets the tickets.
That sounds like fun.
All right. So get your thumbs ready, because when we come back, we're going to give away some tickets to the Green Bay Film Festival, which takes place tomorrow at the Tarleton Theater. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight. Much more to come. Stay with us. You say you stand.